Today's reading is taken from James chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. You can find it in the church Bibles on page 1215. Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, let us hear the word that you have spoken to us today and be spurred to do your will. Amen. Advance apologies if I burst into a coughing fit halfway through this. I've not been feeling too well. Anyway, the Bible is a book of books and therefore a book of many different themes. Almost everything within the human condition is at some point and in some way addressed in here. The theme of today's reading is a twist on one that is quite common. Money, wealth, riches, it forms a often used thread to much of the Bible's teachings. And the attitude to money, wealth, and riches is one of those things that has changed very little since biblical times. Plus ça change, as the French say, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Today's reading, there on page 1215 of the Pew Bibles, verse 1, now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. A story of the rich hoarding wealth, that wealth rotting and corroding, with many further down the pecking order not getting enough, if any. Verse 5, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. It is something the Bible talks about quite a lot. Here are just a few examples. Back in the time of Moses, from Exodus chapter 22, if you lend money to one of my people among you who is needy, do not treat it like a business deal. Charge no interest. The psalmist sings about it. Psalm 15, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent, who may live on your holy mountain, whoever lends money to the poor without interest. Ecclesiastes, everyone's favourite biblical misery guts, has plenty to say on it. Chapter 5, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. He was a cheery soul, wasn't he? Then comes Jesus, with some lines from the Bible that have become almost iconic. Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. One chapter later, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And when people ask the age-old adage of what would Jesus do, I'm swift to remind them that that can include going into somewhere and throwing tables over, as Matthew chapter 21. He overturned the tables of the money changers. The Acts of the Apostles shows these teachings in action. Acts chapter 2. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And then, of course, the famed line from 1 Timothy chapter 6, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And then, of course, we have James, today's reading. Your wealth has rotted, your gold and silver are corroded. The wages you failed to pay the workman who mowed your field are crying out against you. You get the idea. So you'd think, given the amount of times that it is mentioned, given the amount of times that it is brought up, money and the caring for those who do not have enough of it would be the dominant social issue. And for us Christians, for those in here, we may think that is the case in terms of what the church deals with. But that's not the view that a lot of other people take. It's something of a common misnomer. And there are many misnomers about Christianity that I've come across. The assumption that going to church means you have to have your sense of humour surgically removed. The assumption that I'm going to immediately try and convert you by yelling the gospels in your face. I'd encourage evangelism, but subtlety is key. As my own family love reminding me, don't be a God-botherer. I've heard that more times than I care to count. But the most common misnomer isn't over what we do, but what we believe. For many issues that dominate the headlines and dominate people's thinking when Christianity comes into mind are those of the incumbent culture wars, the ever-perpetual arguments over things such as homosexuality and abortion, etc., etc. And they are important issues that need mature and sensible discussion. But they aren't mentioned nearly as much in the Bible. If you're familiar with Bible Gateway, you know you can search for certain terms to see how often they come up. Put in homosexuality, you get one result. Abortion, nothing. Put in money, you get 112. Put in greed, you get 25. It's rather evident which of the issues has more airtime. But there's one point that was made in an online debate that stuck with me. If Christianity devoted as much attention to helping the poor as it did fighting battles over the hot-button issues, it would make so much more of a difference. The Bible is clear on which issues are more prevalent. The reasons for this are quite neatly summed up in today's reading. Money, of course, can be used to oppress, to create injustices. Jesus was there for the poor, for those without money, for those with nothing. I can point you back to the many verses that I've referenced to today's reading. Look at verse 4. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. Jesus' love for the poor, love for justice, those cries have been heard. And let us join those cries. And there are many ways for us to do so. We may well be feeling the pinch of the cost of living, but we are among the richer folk of the world here. And there are many rich oppressors all around us, visible to us. And we may only be the little guys among them, but we can still join those cries. For sake of example, we have buying power. The products in our shops, were they made by people whose wages would lead to God hearing their cries? The online superstore we may order many things from. Are the people packing the items and bringing them to us? Do their wages have God hearing their cries? For the takeaway delivery you order from an app, are they run by people whose wages would lead to God hearing their cries? I know for some people, there's little option for various reasons. But do not let the knowledge scoop by unnoticed. Any sports fans out there, you may be preparing for the World Cup in Qatar later on this year. For those of you who don't know, Qatar operates what's called a kafala system. To live in the country, migrant workers require a sponsor. Until 2020, the migrant in question couldn't change jobs or even leave the country without permission of that sponsor, leading to conditions that many have likened to forced servitude. If you watch Formula One, Qatar will soon be joining the calendar, along with Saudi Arabia, who debuted in 2021, if you just pop the slide up, sporting this rather twisty affair. Nice track, quipped one observer. A lot of lefts and a lot of rights. More rights than the average citizen, anyway. You may well enjoy these events, and if hearing all this is putting a bit of a dampener on it, sorry, but good. These events put on the world stage are often done to show off the glitz and the glamour of these places. If you pop the next slide up. Look, how nice, how wealthy we are. Doesn't it all look so terribly fancy? The rich oppressors hope to mute the cries of those that they leave oppressed. But the Lord has heard, the Lord has cried. These are not isolated examples. I could go on at length. Don't worry, I won't. Don't let glitz, glamour, spectacle draw you in. Whilst you are watching, remember what is done behind the lights. Verses 5 and 6. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. Not forgetting, knowing what goes on, being careful with how we buy. What people can do alone may seem limited, but it is better than nothing. Remember, the Lord has heard the cries. God has told us what we may need to focus on. But there is something else. Back to verses 1 to 3. Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Money might look secure. It looks like something that gives you an anchor, some kind of security, but it is hollow. Looks can be very deceiving. Money can run out, lose its value, rot, corroded, be stolen. It's nothing. The fate of those rich oppressors is clear. To be resting with such a fate, to have nothing but money to rest on, how awful. How terrible. Those rich oppressors are people who need prayer. They need opposition, correction. But they need prayer to find a better way through, to find the salvation available in Jesus Christ. We may only be the little guys. But verse 4. Look, the wages you fail to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. They too were only the little guys. Their cries were heard. The cries reach the Lord Almighty. Join those cries. Remember the rich oppressors. Don't let light shows or glamour or any neat PR blind you. Remember the examples that Jesus set. Let us pray. Lord, in amongst a world full of rich oppressors, we pray for them to come to know Jesus. Hear the cries of the laborers to approach with fairness. We have the power through you to take them on to make this world a better place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.